Praise the Lord. Let's all stand, if you will. Let's bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, we thinking of all your goodness today, Lord, and how you've been so good to us, Lord, and what all you've blessed us with. Lord, all we can say is thank you from the bottom of our hearts, Lord. Lord, we come gathered here tonight, Lord, in one mind and one accord, Lord, to hear thy word. Lord, we just ask you to bless it to our hearts. Bless this service, everything that's said and done, be for your glory and your honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Just couldn't help but think of that little chorus. Page 23. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. While the world looks upon me as I struggle alone, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart there's rejoicing, how I wish sisters. Amen. Always on my heart, my mind. Let's turn back to page 16 in the same book. Amen. Just thinking of the family of God, how blessed we are. We're part of the family that's been whose love knows no end.
Together forever, God's family.
page 25 in the same book. Amen. Just to be appreciate being part of that precious family of God. Amen. We need some spirit-filled preachers who tell us right from wrong. We need some old-fashioned seekers who pray all night long. We need some good gospel singers to help us know another mile. The church will triumph and go home in a little while. It'll be worth it after all, child. It'll be worth it after all. After all of these trials, we'll hear Jesus call. It'll be worth it after all, child. It'll be worth it after all. After all of this climb, when you're down in the valley, prayer is all you can do. The Lord sends deliverance and strengthens you. And if you're up on the mountain, see me struggling along, lift my name up to Jesus, help each other make it home. It'll be worth it after all, child. It'll be worth it after all. After all of these trials, we'll hear Jesus call. It'll be worth it after all, child. It'll be worth it after all. After all of this climbing, it'll be worth it after all. Amen. It'll be worth it after all. Never give up. Keep climbing. Keep fighting. Amen. We're pressing towards a goal. Amen. Brother Sellers, would you take up the offer? Amen. Think about his love. Oh, think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace. Amen. That has brought Brother Tim, would you take the request this evening? Special song in your heart this evening, Brother Tim? saints. Amen. I knew. When I stand before him, I know how I made it. Amen. It's definitely by grace. I appreciate that little song. It was on my heart the other day. It means a lot to me. Amen. Let's all stand, if you will. Amen. Sing that little chorus, I want to live the way he wants me to live. You ask our pastor to come. I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love till there's just no more love. I can never, ever outlove the Lord. I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. To love till there's just no more love. I could never, ever outlove my Lord. Let us just bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, oh, how wonderful you are and how we truly appreciate you again tonight of all that you've blessed us with, Lord, and your precious mercy and grace that you've bestowed upon us. How we just want to glorify your precious name, Father, above all things. We just gathered here again tonight now, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts through the Word of God and draw us closer to you, Father. Just in a special way, just deal with our hearts, knowing we're living in those treacherous times and dangerous hour in which we live, Lord. But Father, we thank you for what you promised you would do, Lord, and how those promises pertain to us by your mercy and grace. So we ask that you would bless us now and open our hearts to the Word of God and help each one of us, Lord, to commit ourselves to you for the hearing and listening of your precious Word. Your glorious, wonderful name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you thankful to be here tonight? I am, by God's grace, so very thankful. Amen. Let's turn Bibles to, once again to 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter. And let's just read the 3rd and 4th verse. If I felt led tonight, just kind of go back into that falling away a little bit this evening. We've kind of went back in and out of it for the last few weeks here, but actually we just want to go back into that a little bit this evening. Amen. Now, did we come here this evening to listen to the Word and apply it to our life and check ourselves by it, or did we just come here for fellowship or see each other or something like that? Well, I hope we come here to listen to the Word and ask God to open our understanding greater to it. So we find here in the 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, 3rd and 4th verse, very familiar scripture. We'll read it one more time. Let no man, notice what he's saying here, let no man, so doesn't it make no difference if it's your uncle, your aunt, another minister, a brother, whoever it may be, let no man, okay? Let no man deceive you by any means. Regardless of what they try to use, what they try to say, what they come up with, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, who that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And may the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. Again, we want to just read the meaning again of what deceive is, and so we can have it kind of fresh in our minds. No, I'm sure we pretty well know what it is, all of us, even make sure the younger ones know and everything.
But deceive, in the original Greek, if you use it, is to be seduced or to seduce. To lead astray, be led aside from the right way, to lead away from the truth, to lead into error, to be led into error, to go astray, sin, to sever or to fall away from the truth, to be led away into error and sin. All right? So just kind of keep that in mind as we talk a little bit more about this falling away this evening. And again, we know we're in that time, and I don't have to tell you anything new about it. I'm sure you understand that. But I just feel in my heart to make sure, because even as the prophet said and showed us how this was a very important subject, and truly this is the hour. Again, it'd be, as he said, the most deceptive age that ever was. So it's not like it was ages in the past. You know, and there was a lot of deceit going on in other ages too, but this is the most deceitful age. And again, this is the last days to where that it would deceive even the very elected, if it were possible. That must, as I've said before, that must really going to be some real deception. You know, where it would deceive even the elect if it were possible. Because the elected is a part of God, you know, and they came from God, came from the same source, you see. And are eternal. They have eternal life. And to think it could get that close, that if they wasn't seed, if they wasn't predestinated, they'd be deceived also. All right? So again, we realize that's what Satan's trying to do. And you don't necessarily have to go anywhere to another church to hear some good deceit. You could hear it, listen to it. You could pick up another book of somebody's and read it. Maybe going down the road and listen to something on the radio. Maybe some type of a message somebody sent you or something. And deceive you. And we must be a people that guards against that. You see, we must be a people that is aware of it in a tremendous way. Because we know Satan's going to try to use this. I know we may sit there and thinking, well, praise God, I don't think I need this fortification, the word, because I'm bride and everything's going to be all right. Well, with that attitude, that begins to scare me already, you know, because you've begun to think you can do it. And that's a scary thing when you begin to think you can do something, you know, and you know, and we're living that time where people really think there's something anyway. I mean, but the scripture tells us when a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceived himself, you know. And how we see that, and it's kind of just been playing out before me. And as I see so many people passing away in these last few days, and with this plague going on and different things happening, and you know, and you know people, you know them as individuals, and you know how they was and how they responded to different things in life, how they talked about things, and some of them handled things in life very humbly and just seemed to be, you know, just really great people, wonderful person, you know, even to be around them. And not saved, but just be good people, you know. And then others may be somebody that was, you know, thought they's really something, and they's always bragging about themselves and always saying they could do this and I'm that and I own this and I do this. And then all of a sudden a virus kills them and they're gone. And all that bragging, boasting within themselves, you know, didn't mean nothing whatsoever. And how just futile their life was, you know. But people forget that without Christ, what a terrible position they're in. And they just can't seem to grasp the reality, as James even said. You know, life is but a vapor. You know? We're here today, could be gone tomorrow. That's why we should say, if the Lord will, if he should tarry, I will do this, I will do that, you know? But we've so many got our plans and our ideas and think our life's going to go on forever, you know? And we're going to live forever in this life we even live in now, as far as flesh. We just think we're going to live forever, you know? Nothing's going to come to an end. But then all of a sudden, something can come to an end, you know? And as I said, I just kind of, I've had my attention drawn to that the last couple months or so with seeing people I know pass away with this virus and so forth. And just go so quickly, you know? It just, you know, it makes you feel sorry for them, you know? No plans, no desire for salvation. Some thought they have salvation. Some thought they was going in. Some thought they was real Christians and yet very sinful. And it just makes you really want to search your own self, you know, and make sure everything's exactly what God said, you know, not on some man's ideas, you know. And you know me, with what I've been through and what a lot of you people have been through, when it comes to man's idea, it just makes me sick. I want nothing to do with some man's idea. I'm feeding on the body, word, the Son of Man is what I'm feeding on. Not some man. Not some person's idea. What somebody's interpretation is of something. Because you watch, when somebody gives their interpretation of something, it will never stay in continuity with the Word of God. Now you always remember that. If it's a man's idea, if it's something that wasn't from God, it will never stay in continuity with the Word of God. Okay? Of course, you got people too that's born for the very purpose to deceive. And they'll take the Word of God and twist it around and believe they're 100% right. You know? Just think, everything they say or everything they interpret of the Word, it's the way it is. You know? It's the time we're living in. See, there's only one way every individual can make sure they're right, is to line it back up with the Word of God. And that's the only way. Not some man's idea. As I said, I'm very low tolerance towards man's ideas, a man's creeds, what a man musters up in his brain. I'm very low tolerance on that. I can't handle it. No. And I believe God let things happen the way it did for that purpose, for a reason, you know, because there's just something about it I can't handle. Don't even let me be around it. Don't want nothing to do with it, friend. No. It's got to come up from this Bible, and it's got to come from the Son of Man. Yeah. Did you hear what I said? And it's come from that Bible, and it has come from the Son of Man. This end time message. Okay? Otherwise, don't give it to me. I'm not ready for it, no. But those two things I can bank it on, it'll stay solid and it won't move, okay? But like I say, when somebody starts adding things to it, don't come here with that, no sir. So we find here, I'll read this again and keep our minds refreshed it also as we go back into this. In 2 Timothy 3:13, we read it a couple Sundays ago, I believe it was, or maybe a week or two, I can't remember exactly when it was. He says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Okay, so we realize there's this time Paul's speaking of that it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It's not going to stay steady. It's not going to remain the same as in one position, but it's just going to keep getting worse and worse. All right, which would wind up to that, what the prophet said, be the most deceptive age it ever was. People could even believe they're Christians. Now think of that. Have you ever seen a time where people could believe they're Christians when they're not? This is the hour. This is the time we live in where people could actually believe they are believers, they're Christians, they're going in and not even line up with the Word, not even believe the Word, not even believe things the prophet said. But yet they're going to go in. They're believers. They're Christians. They've got eternal life. And they feel they're right 100%. As we talked about the make believer, believer, or unbeliever. Both of them believed they was right, you see, and what they believed, what portion they had, okay? So we realize it's going to get worse and worse. See, deceiving and being deceived. And we read what it was to deceive and be deceived, okay? Now I'll read 2 Corinthians 4, and we'll just read, we'll read probably first of the fourth verse. Let's read that portion of it. 2 Corinthians 4 chapter, first verse. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, I'm going to tell you, friends, any ministry that stays with the Word of God will hold to the Word has received mercy. It ain't on their own, on what they could do or their merits or how smart they are. It's God's mercy, you see? We faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Now look at the dishonesty that's going on in ministry today. There's all kinds of dishonest things, you see? But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. And notice how he said that, by the manifestation of the truth. It's proven. By the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, okay, now there's just people won't understand. There's things the prophet brought that people just can't get. Yeah. And there's times the way the prophet brought things that without spiritual understanding, you could take it that he didn't stay in continuity. But it's done that way on purpose. To cause some to go out, some to leave, some to ponder over. They can't get it and never will. It'll never happen, you see. And they just can't figure it out because they have not got the spiritual understanding. Look how many have failed to see things the prophet did teach before the seals. And then after the seals, we just can't get it. They cannot get that revelation of who is talking, who is speaking to that prophet, and getting everything straightened up. Take all care of all these loose ends. You see? They couldn't get it separated and what was going on there. All right? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them. Is it hid to those that are saved? Hmm. It is hid to those that are lost. That's why they can't get it. Okay? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. And always remember, when any light shines, it always lets you be able to see where to go. What direction to turn, what you're about to run into, what you maybe be able to, about to fall off of a cliff or something. But the light always gives you direction to where you can see, you can understand, you know what you're doing, you know where you're going, you know what God is doing, you see. And I think the many that this light is truly not really shined to many that are just wrestling themselves to destruction. Not only the scriptures, but the word of God through the prophet. And are just wrestling themselves to destruction. And they just cannot get it figured out what Brother Brennan meant on things. These ministers that is turning away from this message. These young ministers that arose up throughout the land. That's doing things in the blasphemous ways. Adding to and taking away, creating their own theories and ideas about things. Yeah. They'll never get it. Because it's hid to them that are lost. You see? Do you think God's going to send his men out to bring his word and then just chop it to pieces? Take away and add to it? You really think that's his ministry? No. Satan's done got a hold of that ministry, and he's using it. You see? It's not God's. Okay? The true fivefold ministry will always be vindicated by staying with the Word. Okay? So let's go on here. Let's read some things the prophet said. Anointed ones at the end time. Let's just read a short quote here, and then we'll read on to some other more, a little more lengthier things here. The anointed ones at the end time. Again, this was July 25th, 1965. Paragraph 115. But watch, Jesus said that in this end time, again, the two spirits would be real close together. Is that right? He says, now notice, it will be closer than that was. This is the end time. Oh, children, God have mercy on us. Until it was so close to it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. He says, now how are you going to, he stops there again, he says, now how did we tell it in them days? Okay. How are you going to tell it today? Okay, how do we tell it in them days? How are we going to tell it today? He said the same way. So what's the same way of how we're going to tell whether it's genuine or not genuine? What's true? What's false? He says, stay with the Word. Okay? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now get that. Now see, some people have taken things the prophet has said and trying to change it by their own personal theories or ideas about it and trying to change that, and then that does away with Jesus Christ the same yesterday. And you have to watch that, friends. If it's taken and changed him from yesterday and don't make it come together with today and yesterday, something's wrong. But it will always stay in continuity of the same yesterday, today, and forever if you keep it with the Word. You see? He says, now, take all this message, and when you listen to the tape, even maybe I'll be gone someday. When the Lord has finished with me here on earth, you'll refer back to this and listen to my voice. What am I telling you, he says. If he takes me before his coming, just remember, I've spoke to you in the name of the Lord by the word of the Lord. So remember that on this message too, the anointed one's the end time, as in many of these messages. You see? That it was God speaking to us, and you listen to it. Pay attention to it. It's just like concerning the subject. As I said, now this subject seems, you know, well, we know a lot about it and we've had this before and this, that, and the other. But if we could only realize how many thousands are getting deceived in the message. And they really are believing the right. They really think this is the way it is. And oftentimes it starts right over the pulpit. Preacher gets up there and preaches a little sermon. The people have been with him for a long time, and he's got their confidence built up, and then Satan gets in there and slides something in that isn't the Word. They say, oh, here we go. I believe that, you know. That's the way it is. Here, I thought it was this all the time. I often wondered what Brother Branham meant by that. Brother Branham said just what he meant. God said what he meant. But what kind of interpretation is people given to it? You see? And the scary thing of it is, friends, when we see it happening. People can go a long time knowing this message, believing this message, and all of a sudden, it's wrong. All of a sudden, I don't believe that. And maybe even preached it for years all over the world. And now all of a sudden, there's no truth to it. Why, he made so many mistakes. He said this wrong, he said that wrong, and this prophecy didn't come to pass, and this, that, and the other. Oh, my, if I didn't Satan. Yeah. Listen now. I'll read this as we read there a week or so ago, too, because I wanted to place it back in here before I read the next quote. This is out of the sixth seal. Antichrist is not Russia. Antichrist is not that. Antichrist is so close, like real Christianity, till the Bible said it would fool everything that wasn't predestinated. I think of that. Fool everything that wasn't predestinated. As I said when I read this, now just think with what the prophet said, how few elected there's going to be, how few the bride's going to be, how many is going to be fooled. Going to be a lot of them. So it's going to fool everybody but predestinated. Everybody except for the elected. Okay? The Bible said in the last days, everything that wasn't predestinated, the elect, it says, the elect. Now, anybody take that word and run it back in your margin reading, and what it means, it says the elected or predestinated. It'll fool every one of them whose names were not on the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. Now, he also says in question and answers, the question was asked him, this was March 24th, 1963, it's the questions on the seals. Question 28 says, the person says, will any that are not predestinated accept the Lord, if they do, will they fall away? He says, not if they're predestinated. Ain't no falling away, friends, if you're predestinated. Okay? He says, not if they're predestinated. No. He says, they couldn't. It'd be impossible, friends. Because then it would be, the scripture would have to read, Jesus would have had to say, even the predestinated or the elect would be deceived. But Jesus himself said, the very elected would be deceived if it were possible. But it won't be possible. You see, the prophet explained that. All right? So again, we see how close this is going to be. How narrow it's going to be. Remember, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. Okay? And very few is going to find that way. Very few is going to be able to really not be deceived. Okay? Very few is going to be, I can say, now, just remember this. I warn you again. A person can believe they're so solid and so firm and feel they know everything they need to know and still be deceived if they're not predestinated. If they get deceived, the word done told you. They ain't elected. Okay? And that's hard for some to accept, but I'm going to accept all the word, friends. Every bit of it. Okay? He says here in the church age book, on page 92. Now, to get the real meaning of what we are about to go into, I must caution you to ever keep in mind that religion, or spiritual matters, if you like, is composed of two parts that intertwine, but are opposite as black and white. Religion and spiritual world, are made up of those two trees, which had their roots in Eden, both the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil stood in the midst of the garden. And no doubt their very branches intertwined each other. Thus, in the Ephesian church is that same paradox. The church is made up of good and bad. Two vines make up the church. They are like the wheat and tares growing up side by side. But one is the true and the other is the false. Now, God will speak to each one, and he will talk about each one. He says, and he will call them the church. And only the elect, ears open, only the elect will really know who is the true spirit. So the elect will know who the true spirit is? Absolutely. She's not going to be in the dark on this. The true elect is going to know what is the true spirit and who is the true spirit. Yeah. Now, if they didn't know, Look at the excuse we'd be able to have on the day of judgment. I didn't know God. I didn't know. I didn't know this is this. That's why I listened to him. I didn't know. But no, he was going to reveal it to his elect. They would know who was the true spirit. Okay? Only the elect will not be deceived. Okay? So I find it very vital to understand these things. Amen. To know these things. Okay? Matthew 24:24, he quotes it again. For there shall rise false Christs, false prophets, shall show great signs and wonders so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So way back there in the early church, a very short period after Pentecost, the false vine got to intertwine itself around the true vine. And we find these deeds, excuse me, of the Nicolaitans, you see, and that spirit is going to be found fighting the true vine until it is destroyed by God. He says, now have you got it? It's going to be fighting the true. So we realize every opportunity Satan has, he's going to try to fight the true vine. And he's going to try to throw in every possible thing he can, some sly, crafty way. Remember, Paul said they didn't use that craftiness. No. But Satan's ministry will use that craftiness and try to deceive. Try to get you to think the wrong direction about something. Okay? All right? Let's go on. In the church age book, still continuing on. Genesis 4, 3 and 5. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground of offering, ground and offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Okay? But one, Cain was evil. So number one, Cain was evil, being of his father, that wicked one. And he says, while Abel was righteous before the Lord, again, there were two children from flesh of the same parents. They were the twins of Isaac and Rebekah. One was the elect of God and the other was reprobate. He said there were two twins of Isaac and Rebekah. One was the elected of God and the other one was reprobate. Both worship God. Now notice what he's saying here. He's saying these things for a reason. Both worship God. In every single case, there was worship of God involved. In every case, the evil hated the righteous and persecuted the righteous. Now you watch what's going on today. Watch the evil hate the righteous and be following the same message. Be believing the same message. All of them believing the prophet of the age. They do as Malachi 4, Revelation 10, 22. Believe in all these things. But remember, it's entwined together. Okay? He says here, but notice they were planted together. They lived together. They both made claims upon God and worshiped God. These illustrations depict perfectly the parable of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said that the kingdom of heaven was like unto a man who sowed good seed, only to have an enemy come and plant tares amongst those good seeds. Notice what he just said there. The enemy come along and planted tares right along in with the good seed. Okay? God did not plant the tares. Did you hear what he said? God did not plant the tares. Satan planted those tares right amongst the good seed of God. Those two kinds of plants. And he says, oh, brother, you know, now you're sitting there saying, that's two doctrines, brother. No, no, no. He said people. From two different seeds grew up together. They partook of the nourishment in the same earth. They shared in the same sun, rain, all other benefits. Have you got a spiritual thinking there? And all the other benefits, and both were harvested in their turn. He said, do you see it? So there must be something to see about it, isn't there? He said, do you see it? Don't ever forget these truths as we study the church ages and later the seals. And above all, don't forget, and don't forget that it is in this last age. So this last age is not exempt from it. He says, don't forget, it is in this last age. Okay? When the tares are getting bound for the burning, and they will shove out the wheat that is to be garnered by the Lord. He says, I want to carry this thought all the way through. So let us go to a step further. Have you ever studied the history of revivals? Now, revival signifies a move of God and the power of every time God moves, Satan is there to move also. It never fails. In the days of the Great Welsh Revival, and most people don't know this, the insane asylums filled up quickly, and there was a great display of devil power to take away the attention from God. Now, notice what he's going to get to. It is written that in Wesley's day, the people would do most peculiar things that were definitely of Satan to try to mock the goodness and power of God. In Luther's day, it is said that the miracle of his ministry did not lie in the fact that he successfully protested the Roman Catholic Church, but the miracle lay in the fact that he could and did stay sound and sane amidst the fanatics who were often filled with it, And he says, and guided by wrong spirits, see? And if you have been aware of this last day ministry, and this is what he says, if you've been aware of this last day ministry, you will have noted the same invasion of false and wicked spirits. It has to be that way. Now, I hope and trust you're spiritual-minded enough to get it and capitalize on it. Okay? Now, right there, if the Holy Ghost doesn't open your understanding to it, you can put some kind of a carnal interpretation to it and go the wrong direction with it. But it takes a spiritual understanding. Okay? In other words, the Holy Ghost revealing it to you. Okay? He says, I'll just see if I can cut any of these out, but I better not yet. Just to seal this point on the true and false vines, mingling and demonstrating the two spirits that are at work, let us look at 1 John 4, 1-4, Jude 3, 4-12. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcame them. He said, Antichrist spirit, in parentheses. Ye have overcome them, Antichrist spirit, because greater is he, God's spirit, that is in you than he that is in the world. Jude 3, 4. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men, notice how he says this, for there were certain men, he says, not saints, okay, crept in unawares. So he didn't notice it. These have not come into the fold by means of the door, and are therefore robbers, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying only the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. It cannot be denied in the face of these scriptures that the true church and the false church are intertwined, having been planted together, but of different seeds. There you go. Different seeds. Now let's listen. Let's go on. I'll skip over this one real quickly here.
Satan's eating. I'm going to run out of time this evening. All right. So we find here in Satan's Eden in paragraph 27. In the course, he reads the scripture, "Let no man deceive you by any means." We'll read it again. "For the day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin," he repeats. Watch what he is now. "The man of sin," he revealed, "the son of perdition," that was Judas, see, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That deceitfulness of the church today, see, the son of perdition, the devil. The son of perdition, the devil. Then people worshiping Satan in this day thinking they're worshiping God. They're worshiping him through a creed, a man-made denomination, and creeds that brought the people right down to the greatest deception that the world has ever known of. No matter how much the word of God promised for this day is preached and vindicated, they still won't believe it. They won't believe it. Then why? We wonder why. Why doesn't it? Why won't they believe it? When God said he would do a certain thing, and he does it, and still they turn their back from it and turn away from it. Just as Eve knew what God said, see, God would do. But she turned her back on it to listen to what he had to say. Who? Satan. I think that. Tell me people ain't doing the same thing today with the message, the same message we're listening to. Just remember, in other ages, it's always been the same thing in every age. It's always been Satan tries to pervert the word to them, making them see some other age. Look what Jesus come, or when Jesus come. Satan was in that bunch of Jewish, excuse me. He says Satan was in that bunch of Jewish teachers and rabbis and priests. Who was? Just draw your attention to it. Satan was. And he's a bunch of Jewish teachers and rabbis and priests trying to tell him to keep the law of Moses. Now, it looks so good, though. I mean, why wouldn't they? They was brought up to keep the law of Moses. And then this Jesus comes along? Oh, it was so close. They were so close to the truth. But yet so far. And they couldn't see the truth that came through Christ. Trying to tell them to keep the law of Moses when the very word said that in that day the Son of Man would be revealed. And it's the same thing happened today? The Son of Man being revealed? Oh my. See, that he would reveal himself. So they was trying, as long as they kept them religious and on the law of Moses, see what he did? He was trying to tell them. That part of the word is just exactly right. Now listen, Satan kept telling them that part of the word, the law of Moses, was exactly right. Exactly right. Come on, teachers, rabbis, and so on, ministers. The law of Moses was right. Okay? But this man isn't that person. Talking about Jesus Christ. But this man isn't that person, Satan was telling him. See how deceiving he is? But yet the law of Moses was right. Was it not? But they couldn't see that transition of Christ coming. They never could see it. Just couldn't get it. They couldn't see the Son of Man coming forth. Same thing they can't see today. They can't see the Son of Man coming forth and revealing himself. They'll maybe hold to something that Brother Branham said before the seals was revealed. And Brother Branham plainly, when it came time the seals were revealed, God took and untwisted that thing, made it right to where people could see it the way it was supposed to be. And they just can't see it. So they come up with the idea, well, he's coming against what he said then, and he's not saying the right thing now. He's no prophet. He's no prophet. There's no way. They just couldn't see it, friends.
And they believed it for years. They said it was right for years. But then when Satan got inside and began to twist things up really bad to them and begin to think the wrong things because they lacked the revelation of it, now, oh, the prophet wasn't the true prophet of the age. Yeah. They can't see that, what was taking place. And so many people still hold to things Brother Branham talked about before the seals. People are so blind, friends, they can't even see how he brought Christmas out before the seals. And as he moved on later and began to get more understanding, how he began to stand against that thing. Right. Paganism, Christmas trees and all that stuff, they can't see it. So they'll go back here and still have Christmas and trees and Santa Claus and all kinds of things. They just can't get it. It's not given to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom. You see? I can say a lot more. Well, maybe in time. But are we a people today that's going to hold to something he did back then or said back then before he had the revelation of it? Don't give me this thing, Brother Brown. I had the revelation all his life. No, he didn't. He said himself he didn't. You see? The people just get it all twisted up. And that's why, oh, now all of a sudden, oh, I never got to thinking about this. Well, he couldn't have been the right prophet. Such nonsense. It just didn't give them to understand. That's all there is to it. Blind. And many of them is blind, leading the blind, they're all going to fall in the ditch. See how deceiving he is? That's the real day of deception. It's been and now is Satan establishing his kingdom in the earth. That's exactly what he's doing. For he wants to establish his own kingdom. As a businessman that's not a Christian, he'll work every scheme he can to make you see something the wrong way. If he's got a purpose and a personal gain in making you do that, making you see it that way, he'll show you everything he can to keep you off from the truth of it. Because he's got a feeling only for himself. Always remember that. Satan has only a feeling for himself. He's not concerned for you. His only concern for you is to see you burn in hell. Yeah. That's his greatest concern. But he don't care about you. He doesn't love you. He don't care for you. He just wants you lost. Yeah. And he uses men to do it. He's got feeling only for himself. No matter how much he lies and cheats and whatever more, he's got personal gain somewhere in it, see? That's what he said, that's why Satan done this. And he has worked through the ministry to do it. Oh, worked through the ministry? How could that be? These nice preachers and teachers and evangelists work through that ministry? Yes. As God promised he would do, see? Now he began by religious deceit in Eden and has continued ever since. Not by setting up a bunch of communists. Communists has nothing to do with this. It's the church. That's where you have to watch. It's not the communists that would deceive the very elect. It's the church that will deceive the very elected. It isn't communists. We know they deny God. And they're Antichrist. Sure, they are, in principle. But they are not the Antichrist. The Antichrist is religious. Very religious. And can quote scripture and make it look so plain. Yeah. As Satan did back there in the beginning, he quoted everything right down. He says, right down, God has said. Like he did to Eve. He's talking about Eve. God said, don't do this, do this, do this. But if you do this, you'll be as wise as God is himself. Yeah. You'll know both good and evil. Thou shalt not eat of every tree of the garden. See? Quote it right out. Because that was what? The word. That was God gave Adam and Eve the instructions with the word. So Satan quotes this word back. You know? He quoted everything right down as God that God said. Thou shalt not eat every tree of the garden. See? Quote it right out. She said, yes, we may eat of all the trees of the garden, but there is a tree in the midst of the garden that God said not to eat for. He says, or she said, not even touch it, because the day we did, that day we would die.
He said, oh, surely you'll not die. But let me give you the reason why God said this. That's what Satan says. Eve, let me give you the reason why God said this. Yeah. Because see, now what? He quoted this truth. He quoted this truth. You see, he said, it'll open your eyes. My. Look at the preachers coming on today. Ah, God, give me this revelation. This will open your eyes or something if you just listen to me. I present this. Yeah. It'll open your eyes and it'll make you know good and evil. You'll be like God then if you can't do it. That's just what he wants to do. And that's just the same thing he is trying today, he said. There's been a religious deceit since the very beginning at Eden. And has been ever since in Adam's time. It was a deceit in Noah's time, see? It was deceit in Jesus' time. It was the same. And now is the same way, a religious deceitfulness. Think of that. A religious deceitfulness. Yeah. Remember, as he said in God of Deceived Wages, it isn't some cold, starchy old church that would get you and deceive you. It's almost up to the real thing. Yeah, that's what will get you. Yeah. What time's going to be? Yeah, I'm out of time. We'll stop there for this evening. Now, saints, I just want to make sure you stay fortified this, because who knows what you'll hear in the near future. Maybe somebody come from another church, come in and say, oh, my pastor's preaching this and this and this, and this is the way it is. Boy, I didn't see this, and this is the way it is, and my, I didn't get this till he said it this way. But if you got the Holy Ghost in there, friends, there's going to be something in there going, wait a minute, something ain't right here. Something ain't right about this. I'm going to have to search this out and see what's going on. Yeah. Something's not quite right. Yeah. So, beware. Again, I warn you. There must be a reason the Holy Spirit wants to warn you, you see. And there must be a reason why God given all this word to us to go over and exhort upon to make sure we get it. Yeah. If it wasn't going to be no big deal, well, we're elected anyway, and no way we're going to be deceived, then why did God give all this to the prophet to give to the bride? For a reason. And it's to fortify us with the Word of God, you see. Is that right? Amen. Absolutely it is. Hey, won't you, sisters, come in, sisters, please, if you would. Amen. Just love that word. It's so wonderful. So precious. Amen. So wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But I'll tell you, it's just people are getting things so twisted up anymore. It's just unbelievable. It really is. Like I said, so many times they've taken something, even maybe what the prophet did years ago or something. I mean, they just don't see it, you know. And Brother Branham himself said, I make mistakes just the same as anybody else does, you know. So when he told me to lie to those men that was looking for him on the tax deal, so Brother Branham did that, so we all go and say, oh, I can lie because Brother Branham did. That's the way people do things, you see. They just get more interested in copying him, trying to be like him. You know, our job's to be like him. It's our business to be like Christ and Christ be in us. You see? But people just can't get it. And not taking away the prophet or anything like that. We have to have that prophet. God had to give us that prophet. And God was speaking through that prophet. That was God's mouthpiece to us. You see? But we're not all here to act like prophets. We're not all going to raise the dead. We're not going to all lay hands on the sick and do these things. We're not all going to speak in tongues and all these different things. We're not all going to do that. We're not all prophets. No. So don't get in your mind you've got to be like Brother Branham. But be like the Christ that was in Brother Branham. You see, have that same Christ in you that was in Brother Branham. And do the things that you're supposed to do. You're a separate individual. I'm a minister, you may be a lay member, or whatever you may be, you see.
We ain't all got the same job. No. I might be a toenail. You might be the finger. You see, we all got different jobs to do. Different parts in our life to do. But it all has to come out to the same Christ, though. You see? Oh, my. But it ain't all trying to act like Brother Branham, friends. No. You can't do it. No. Although I'd like to have some of the experiences he had, you know. Love to be able to go through those different things. But as I've said before, could you imagine? This building would never hold the people, friends, if I would get up here and do the things Brother Branham did. We'd have a bunch of people here just wanting to see works and signs again. Oh, yeah. They'd be so interested why you couldn't keep people away from here. Yeah. But it ain't time for that, friends. God left that up to his prophet. Yes. So, friends, I'm not saying God wouldn't do that thing through something through his, you know, one of his, you know, at some time or another. You know, somebody may drop dead and the brothers get together and pray for him and raise him back up, you see. The Holy Ghost raise him up. Not that God wouldn't do those things, you see. But don't have in mind where, you know, you're going to try to act like the prophet, because it ain't going to happen. Amen. No. It ain't going to happen, friends. He done his job. He done what he was supposed to do. Now we've got to do our part, you see. The work that was left for us for this specific time. Yes. We won't move unless we got, thus saith the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. We won't move. Won't do anything unless that word tells us to do, friends. Christ have the complete preeminence of our lives. Oh, my. Like I say, you get your mind tangled up and have to do everything like the prophet did, you're going to go down the wrong path. Yes, you are. It's all about what the word said. Amen. What the word of the Son of Man said. Yes. That's what you want to pay real close attention to. Yeah. Now again, without spiritual understanding, I know for a fact, there's people out in this message who would sit there and think, oh, Brother Steve's trying to do without the prophet now. Blind as bats. They have no more spiritual understanding than anything, you see. Paul talked about being misunderstood. Brother Branham talked about many times, he even preached a message, God misunderstood. It's not given to many people to understand things. You can't expect them to understand. You can't change them to make them understand. It's been given you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, the newly elected. Amen. Let us all stand. May have talked in a little bit of riddles there, but hope not. Hope you understand the direction the word's taking us on this. All right. Let's just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the word of God. And I'm asking again, Father, that you would just keep us in the truth and the way of righteousness and the things that would please you. And Lord, if we haven't, we ask you, forgive us, Lord. Just we're asking you, open our eyes, Lord. Give us eyes salve to see. For you're the only one we can depend on, Lord, to reveal your word to us. Holy Spirit. There's no man can do it. There's no brother can do it. There's no sister or wife can do it. But Lord, only you by the Holy Spirit can reveal the word into our hearts. So we ask that you would do that for us. Give us revelation, Lord. It's more important than anything else in this life, Lord. And we should seek that. Oh God, we're living in the last moments of time and everything must be lined up exactly the way you want to be lined up. So we ask now thy will be done and open our hearts continuous to the word. And Father, just watch over us now as we part from this little place. Keep us safe upon the highways. And Lord, a brother that has to drive so far, keep him safe and watch over him. And Lord, again, bring us back the next appointed time if you should tarry. And help us to come, Lord, hungering the way we should hunger and crying out, Lord, for the things that you want in our life. We ask it again now for your glorious, wonderful name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus. I'll say amen to Jesus, amen all the time, amen. I'll say amen to Jesus, amen all the time, amen in sorrow, amen rain or shine, it's yes to God forever. He knows what's best for me, and so I'll just say amen, whatever it may be.
May God richly bless you. You're all dismissed.